AM, FM, streaming, and now delivered by smartphone app. All free, always free. Inflation-proof information. WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the morning, and a subject that we have covered quite a bit. Well, no, it's not the FBI inside of Twitter, although we have that does fit within that. No. I'm talking about the Albemarle County kind of rhetoric that they circle themselves in, where they say we don't have enough housing, we need more affordable housing, but they continue to restrict the places you can build housing on it. Great new column at the Free Enterprise Forum highlighting consultants now joining Neil Williamson in a call to a modest expansion of the development area, and from the Free Enterprise Forum, where you can find them online at freeenterpriseforum.wordpress.com. He is Neil Williamson on the Newsmakers line. Neil, I hope you're warm and dry this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. Happy to be with you.
So now it's not just you and it's not just me. Other consultants are joining our little caravan like a Chaucer novel and are consulting the Board of Supervisors to hear them out on expanding the development area?
Right. The one of the things that is part of the AC 44 comprehensive plan process was to utilize an outside consultant to conduct a land use build-out analysis. What that means is how many people are going to be able to fit in your established development areas.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, what they've done is to say, okay, well, theoretically, based on what the comp plan says, which is not zoning, we've got enough space. The report's looking at between 11,500 and 13,500 units needed for the next 20 years. Buried way deep into this report, on page 63 of a 63-page report, was a caveat where it said, because of these variables, it is unlikely the county will achieve the maximum theoretical build-out of its development area.
Huh.
And it continues to say that this change would need to be paired with a consideration of expanding the development area to accommodate projected growth. Now, that's a big deal buried on page 63, because internal to the report it says, you have enough in theory. Well, that means fiction. In theory, you could. But the reality is Albemarle is not approving these things. We had a project, we don't speak specifically about projects for or against, but the Breezy Hill project out west was approved in the development area, one unit per acre. In your densest area is this one unit per acre. That's really not very dense.
No.
And on the when you look and say, okay, well, what could it be? Well, theoretically, you could have easily had 10 to 20 units per acre if that was something that the community wanted.
Yeah, density now, being, dense. I mean,
right.
I live on 1 acre. I have one house on 1 acre. I can tell you it takes a long time to mow it.
Well, the question is, the state makes, every 5 years, localities must review their comprehensive plan, and they have to allow for enough land to be developed to meet the projected need. So what Kimley Horn, the consultant, did was to come up with a theoretical and then say, but wait a minute, you guys aren't approving these theoretical numbers. You're approving much, much less. So you need to expand the development area. This should be a huge, we've been talking about this since probably 2009.
Mm-hmm, easily.
And it is critical that we have more housing everywhere for everyone. And so the idea, what we've been doing is shrinking our development area through maybe worthy, maybe not worthy concerns. And the new term is, we've got 25% of every development has to have be open space. Okay, well, that makes your development area 25% smaller.
Mm.
You have stream buffers that require a certain distance from either side. Very good, understood, environmental benefit. But you also have critical slopes, which, by the way, we live in rolling lands, so we can't build on those. You are continuing to reduce and reduce and reduce where you can build housing. The concept of a development area is to provide housing where it is most efficient to deliver government services. And that's really the goal. And right now, this report now shows you don't have enough room for 20 years to grow. It's probably closer to 12.
Well, and you mentioned one of the kind of great secrets, you know, in municipality, and I know the phrase shadow ban is being used a lot in relation to social media and its interactions with the federal government. But when they say, well, this is permissible if you make it through all these things, and then only 1% of the things that are theoretical get through it, they've really restricted it by 1%. So aside from expanding the actual area that you can develop on, do we need to expand, let's say, the mind that views these expansion plans?
I think we need to do that. We also need to open up our eyes to the fact that we aren't approving creative plans. There was a project, again, not that we're in favor or against it, at 999 Rio Road that had, I think it was 16 units, or maybe it was 20 small units, and the neighbors came out and said, that's not what we want. And they ended up going to, I think it was 8 or 9. Now, that's a very small number of change, but that magnified over time is a huge issue. And so we need to consider looking at what we mean by housing. Are we opposed to developing housing that is less expensive to build, mm-hmm. thus less expensive to buy?
Well, and when we come back, Neil, and I hope I can hang on to you for this, Neil Williamson from the Free Enterprise Forum is on with us, but I want to talk about the other side of this, which then becomes, well, we need to build new schools because we've got this development out here and we don't have, you know, people near the schools, and we have a bus driver shortage, and all of these things that are adding in to our municipal discussion, I think, are tangent to this. Can we hang on to you and explore that some?
You bet.
All right, Neil Williamson again. It's freeenterpriseforum.wordpress.com where you will find him in there. And when we come back, we'll get Mac in here inside the sports headlines. Stormwatch coming up again, tractor trailer on 29 northbound, and then back with Neil on Joe Thomas in the Morning.
Hey, this is Chris Caffrey from Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and you're listening to Virginia's honorary member of the band, Joe Thomas on Seaville, 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the Morning, visiting with the great Neil Williamson, president of the Free Enterprise Forum. Find them online at freeenterpriseforum.wordpress.com. So the consultant in the AC-44, that isn't Al Cowling's number when he played football with the Juice. AC-44 is the comprehensive plan reworking. Still public comment going on the AC-44 plan. I don't think I have a schedule of their next meetings, but they are still taking public comment on this, correct, Neil?
Yes, the AC-44 program will likely go on for another 18 to 24 months.
So this consultant that they hired as part of it said, you're really not, you know, doing what you're saying. And even in our theoretical numbers, you have room, but you're not even approving the kind of development that you're using in our mathematical models. That being said, when you look at a community that says we need to build more schools because people aren't living around the schools or something, shouldn't a reasonable model and our friends at Market Urbanism Report and that might argue this, but start where the schools and the police departments are, and then, you know, build density around there. And then if you want to get more rural, then, you know, you're gonna pay a little bit for it, and start looking at your development starting at the schools as the locus, and then building density as you get closer to the schools. Wouldn't that make some sense?
Well, the idea of building schools, not just schools. I mean, the reality is that the government infrastructure that's provided by local government is mismatched. Back in the days of DISC 2, Son of DISC, which was the Development Initiative Steering Committee, there was a talk of concurrent infrastructure, whereby as the developments get built, the locality would spend money, infrastructure money, to ensure that the pocket parks, the fire and rescue, the schools, everything that the local government is responsible for would happen in tandem. That has not occurred. There is a lack of infrastructure spending to match the development that's occurring. Now, there's two ways to deal with that. Number one, you could say, okay, no more development until all the infrastructure is up to snuff. And I think you'd have great trouble with that for property owners because there are property rights. And so the other is to face up, determine what it is you need to do and how you need to allocate what are limited resources, and allocate those resources appropriately. The idea that you need to, you have another school bond referendum likely coming forward in the next year or two to deal with school needs. Back to the Byrd administration, the deal was, you guys take care of the schools, we'll take care of the roads. And that fixed the balkanization of roadways in the state of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a need to focus infrastructure spending to agree with where the development is occurring. And that is something that has been going on for well over 20 years.
Are we back to where we were, gosh, 15 years when this show launched, Neil, which was, you know, the debate over Austin or Aspen, and maybe it's even a debate between Astoria and Aspen now?
Well, I think that's a false choice, but yes, there is some of that. The idea of who we want to be. During the Austin-Aspen discussion, I mentioned Santa Barbara, California, and 20 years ago in Santa Barbara, 30,000 service workers drove into Santa Barbara County in order to work,
mm-hmm.
because there was nowhere for them to live. Is that what we want? Or do we want our teachers to be alongside the rest of us? Our perhaps, you know, our radio show hosts could live in the community they serve.
Ouch.
It is an exciting piece when you say, okay, let's have a tapestry. We talk about more housing everywhere for everyone, and the idea of housing choices. That means duplexes. That means apartment buildings. That means all kinds of different choices. Mm-hmm. Small houses, accessory dwelling units. All of those things fit into the matrix of what we could be as a community. But we have to decide whether we're a welcoming community or we're going to build the moat.
What about the cost? I mean, we talk about, you know, and you and I have talked about this, the amount of money it costs before you even put a shovel in the ground for a housing unit. And so you wind up only really seeing the folks who can develop a scale number of homes to make the dollar outlay pencil out even a little bit. So somebody can't say, well, I've got an acre and I really don't need the whole acre, so I'm going to split it and build a house on it and see if anyone can buy it and actually add to the inventory.
Right. The inventory is a huge issue, and the number of approvals that are needed in order to meet the demand that's cited in this study is higher than the number of approvals we're currently receiving. So the question becomes one of, okay, why is that happening? And those are some of the concerns, land costs and regulatory costs, that are hindering housing and housing affordability in our community.
So what is your feel? And again, I'm trying to, and I would never, because I know you're a nonpartisan agent of observation and data in this. And if you really want to look, we've been talking a lot this morning about, places to go to find unbiased numbers. You know, these numbers that you see in reports that you'll see on Neil's website are completely unbiased. They are pure numerical depictions of what life looks like as the Matrix could be. And you know, at the end, yet we still see people who will use the platitudes of, oh, housing doesn't pay for itself, growth doesn't pay for itself. We closed a couple of schools and now we need to build a couple of schools. The folks who are holding these representative offices, who are taking these votes, they seem to ignore all these incontrovertible facts. Like you said, even this consultant's note is on the last page of the last page of his report.
Right, and it is a political reality that the people that need the housing generally aren't the people that vote, because they're not yet in the community. And that's a challenge.
Well, you also mentioned, I think very poignantly, that the people who would benefit from zoning a change or an approval of a property are usually the ones who aren't at the meeting because they don't know about it. Or not that they don't know about the meeting, but they don't know that they could benefit from this apartment complex being built or this density being increased. So they don't go there, but all the people who say, not in my backyard, they're there in force.
Right, and the idea that we allow and want to have Diversity of housing opens up the idea that you may have diversity of people living in your neighborhood, and that creates some challenges for some people. And that's just a harsh reality. I believe that we're better. Our diversity is our friend. We are stronger because of the diversity we have in our community.
That was perhaps the most gentle way anyone has ever said what you just said, Neil, and I appreciate it as always. And I hope you have a wonderful Christmas, and I appreciate your look. And what are you working on coming forward? This is up online at freeenterpriseforum.wordpress.com.
Right. We're continuing to look at AC 44 and also the Charlottesville zoning ordinance that's coming forward. I anticipate we'll see that the second week of January.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful Christmas. Get some rest, and we will keep up with you as we get into the new year. And I appreciate you coming on with me this frosty morning.
Happy New Year, Joe.
434-964-1075. A lot to chew on in what Neil said there, but I think a lot of it very important. And don't forget, you can interact with us. We've got some room for you on the phones for the next half hour. We'll break that down. Also, the question, what about banning Chinese communist staffers from congressional offices? If we're going to ban TikTok from their machinery, all coming up.
Seville's home for the holidays.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.